Chema. So in the series on Srimad Bhagavat Puran, we take up today a story personally very dear to me with quite a few experiences I've had with this, the main heroine of the story, and that is Ganga Maiya. We all have heard about her. She's a real living goddess, this I can say for sure. And the story is very fascinating, very deep, very symbolic. Not only symbolic, both occult as well as symbolic. So now I'm not only sticking to the Bhagavat Puran, where this story comes, but also a couple of other places, so that the story can be complete. So the origin of Ganga, first the story itself. So origin of Ganga is supposed to be when, during Vamana Avatar, the toe of Lord Vishnu as Vamana pierces the tent called the heavens. And as he pierces, the purest form of, you know, before this material creation, purest form of water, the vital, if you want to put it in our language, because it's the vital, then it becomes material. So that purest form of liquid comes out. And that is the origin of Ma Ganga, and that's why she is also called as Vishnupad. And then she remains in Brahmalok and in the highest heavens, where she nourishes the gods, and therefore she is also called as Surasari. Suri is Devata and Sari is comes this Sarita, the flowing streams. So that's the origin of Ganga. But meanwhile, there is a drama taking place on earth. So the drama is that King Sagar, who is coming from the Ikshvaku clan, so he is governing the earth, and then he undertakes a Ashwamedh Yagya. So we all know, we have already spoken about what Ashwamedh Yagya is or meant. So as he is undertaking Ashwamedh Yagya, then the horse goes and all the army goes along with the horse, and whoever stops, so you have to fight. So that was the logic. If you don't stop, that territory comes under the king. So it at once applies to both outer conquest and inner conquest, but we'll stick to the outer story first. So the horse goes several places and it stops at Kapil Muni's place when he is doing his sadhana in the Patal Lok. So all the 60,000 sons, they go there and they see that here is a man who is sleeping with his sitting with his closed eyes. So they challenge him, come fight with us, because that's the norm. He is deeply absorbed in meditation. So they start creating a lot of hangama, rakas. So when Kapil Muni opens his eyes, they get all burned, reduced to ashes. This is one version of the story as given in Bhagavat Puran. But there is another version that, this is not given in Bhagavat Puran. In Bhagavat Puran, they get burned because of the extreme heat that is generated in the body, which seems more correct from the occult point of view. And they are all burned to ashes because they were doing nothing really wrong, because they wanted to fight, because that was the challenge. Now this, okay, 60,000 sons are gone, and the news reaches the king. He tries to propitiate the gods, but nothing really happens. He passes on this legacy to his son. His son is Anshuman, great king. So he tries his own methods, tapasya, everything, but he cannot revive those 60,000 sons. So Anshuman passes it on to Dilip, his son. They are all in the dynasty of Raja Ram. So again, Anshuman tries, but he doesn't succeed. Meanwhile, they continue with their kingdom. They do well. And then comes their son, son of Dilip, called Bhagirath. So we all have heard, actually, Bhagirath Prayas is there. So Bhagirath undertakes, a severe penance tapasya. And he has been told that, well, to revive them, Ganga must descend upon earth. This was the condition. She only has the capacity to revive them, to cleanse them, to purify them. So then he does engages in great tapasya, and finally Ganga Maiya appears and she says, I can come, but who is going to bear my tremendous pressure, because the earth will burst, it won't be able to take my pressure if I come. So this is one of her conditions, that well, I need a place or something, some stable which force which can hold me. So then Bhagirath engages in tapasya to Shiva. Shiva readily agrees. He says, okay, she can land in my locks. So Ganga Maiya agrees. And as she comes, she enters the locks of Shiva. And therefore, from Shiva's locks, she comes down. We have seen this image in many of our films and images of Shiva. So he breaks the fall, controls it, stabilizes her. And then as she descends, she goes, she has her own route. For instance, one of them is that she enters the Himalaya, which contain her, and then as she flows towards earth, first she goes to the ashram of Rishi Jahnu, that's how he is known. So he just drinks her. Now this is a project of the gods, so he then brings her out, but again the force is contained. So when she comes out, she becomes the daughter of Jahnu. So she is also known as Jahnvi, is one of the names of Ganga. So you have Bhagirathi, Jahnvi, and then she flows down and she is known as Bhagirathi, and she is not yet known as Ganga. So in that journey, she meets another stream, which is another celestial river, which is also has descended on earth to meet Ganga, and they meet together at one of the places, Devaprayag. And Alaknanda and Bhagirathi meet together and they become Ganga. Then the Ganga proper begins. I don't know whether any of you have seen the meeting point or not. It's amazing. You can see the two distinct waters which are coming and then merging into each other and flowing further. So that's how the origin of Ganga. And then she flows through different places. So Ganga, this is one request and that is taken care of. Then she says, there is another problem. I am a purifying water, but when I come on earth and purify human beings of all their sins and problems and sufferings, what will happen to me? Like on earth, I don't have a rejuvenating system all the time. So I'll become burdened. So how to handle that? So Bhagirath finds a solution to that also. And he says, well, all the great yogis and saints who are one with the divine, when they will take a bath, then they will absorb many of the things which are going on inside you. There are other stories also connected with Ganga, which is about Narmada. The story is very sweet. So when she says, where will I purify myself? This is not there in Bhagavad, but the story goes, she says, Narmada will purify you and she will flow into the ocean. And there is a third story also related to Ganga where, see, these are stories which connect the whole India. If you take Bharatvarsh, you will see the string of seven nadis which are connecting the whole of India. So, but that apart, and we used to, I think in childhood, many of us were taught this. When we put the waters, there was a shloka. Gange che, Yamune che, Kaveri. So it was all connecting the whole India. Within your heart you carry India. Not as states, but as the riverbeds. So in the south, it is Kaveri. Because Rishi August got that flow from there. Now, of course, there is a story of Kaveri and that's Rishi August, which is a very fascinating story, but we'll not go into it. So here Ganga, then Narmada, then you have Kaveri, which are supposed to be three variations of the same river. And so Bhagirathi, now turned Ganga, flows right down to Sagar, the Bay of Bengal, as we know it. And there she enters into the Patal. She is known as, she becomes Patal Ganga, because she is very forceful. If she just goes down, so she enters into Patal. And as the story goes, as she goes into the Patal, she revives the dead sons. And these, all these children, they come back, they come up. But Where do they go? Because they are touched by the Ganga, they are all liberated and they go to, they become celestial beings, Devlok. That's the story, just of this part of the Ganga. And so Bhagirath's work is completed. There is another story connected with Ganga, we'll take that also, then we'll talk about the meaning. So the other story is also very touching. So the story goes that once Naradji is moving through the Gandharva Lok. Gandharva Lok is in the vital worlds. So in the Gandharva Lok, he sees there are people who are very twisted. They cannot sing properly. Gandharva Lok is known for music and singing. So he says, what has happened to you? Some twisted beings he sees. He says, what has happened to you? He says, see, we are Gandharvas. We are meant to give music. But there are people on earth who have completely distorted all the music that flows from us. And that impact is taking a toll on us. Yes, imagine. It's taking a toll on us. So we are all getting deformed because there is a connectivity with the beings of earth. All the, there is a whole interconnectedness. That's how we see often, you know, Asuras going to Swarg and conquering Swarg. Why? Because something in Indra has come which is very mean, like he becomes full of vanity or jealous. So Asuras find a loophole and they go and conquer. So there is an interconnectedness in this whole creation, which is not only about this universe, but in our conception, it's a multiverse. So everything is connected to everything else. So these say, okay, we are totally deformed. So he says, what can now be done? He says, I don't know. The Gandharva says, we cannot, because the moment we sing, deformation comes in, because we are very close to earth, because they are from the vital worlds. So what can happen? If somebody can once again recreate music in its purest form or dance in its purest form, then we will all be fine. So Narad Muni, that's his job description. He says, okay, back and forth. He goes and he conveys the thing to Lord Vishnu. So Vishnuji says, well, if it comes to perfect dancing and singing, it's only Shiva. That's for sure. So they go to Shiva. So Shivji says that I need an audience of that stature. So who can be the audience to Shiva except Vishnu and Brahma? So they are sitting. Shiva is dancing and singing. Now is it, what he's doing with that, he's correcting the deformities upon earth. It's very, very symbolic, very beautiful. So as he dances, the perfect form of music begins to emerge, Nad. And as the perfect form begins to emerge, suddenly Vishnu Bhagwan is overcome with feelings in his heart of a kind which are never known in creation. These feelings emerge, very beautiful, pure feelings. And as they emerge, Brahmaji is ever on the lookout for some new material for creation. At some point he will use it. So in the form of water, he takes it into his kamandalu, waiting for the day when he will release it to earth. So these are the two stories of the origin. Both are very beautiful, very clear, not only symbol about occult powers and their action upon earth. So in the first story, what are these 60,000 sons who continue to linger? So today we may use the word heredity, but there is a concept in Indian thought of carrying the problems of your ancestors. It's known as Pitra Rin. So you have three types of Rin: Pitra Rin, Dev Rin, Bhur Rin. So all these have gone into shaping us. They have taken the brunt. They have borne the challenge. And that's why we have the conception of whenever if you go through the Yajnapavit, you are asked, who is your ancestral? So you have to name your ancestors. So who were the 14 ancestors, the great ancestors? They initiated a project. Take it like that. So like for instance, if I have to go back to my ancestor, there is Rishi Bharadwaj. So he actually started a project called Vimana Shastra and Ayurveda. So I was very happy that what a combination. Doctor and Air Force, so probably something. I mean, I was very happy when I came to know that. So anyway, there are 14 of them. So there are projects which they have undertaken. These projects cannot be completed in one lifetime. So that is the Rena that we are carrying. This project has helped each generation go one step forward. And we owe it to them to complete the project. This project is not about outward. It's not about pita ka rin chukana. Nobody does that. If pita has taken rin and goes, I don't think law compels anyone. And that's not the rin. But he has shaped your thoughts in some way for good or worse, mother. So this is to be taken next step forward. So in psychology, we use the word atavism. And Carl Jung even used a very interesting word, shadow. So he uses this word that there are things we carry from our parents. And atavistic tendencies, sometimes as part of humanity. And specifically as part, like we all have our animal past as they are called. But specifically from our parents, certain tendencies come into us. So while the business of life goes on, at some point the buck has to stop. Someone has to take care of that, do something about it. But these are very deep-rooted tendencies. Those who have taken to yoga understand this. They are not just simple tendencies which you just pray and get rid of by any mental tapasya. It requires such a tapasya sometimes that something greater than the mind has to come in. In our yoga, here in integral yoga, it's the Divine Mother's grace. All these tendencies, for instance, suicidal tendencies, tendencies which are very, very deep. So, now the story goes when certain these tendencies which we carry on, so how to get rid of it. So, like Bhagirath, we have to engage in tapasya. What is the tapasya? It is to bring down, invoke the higher force of the highest dimension. So, there is a force of purification. The mother speaks about it. And there is a force of love, which is a force of transformation. And she even differentiates between the two. She says the power of purification can completely destroy if you are not ready. It's a tremendous power. But love does not do that. Love transforms. So here it's about reviving the dead. Making them whole. Making them complete. The same story in the second story, that things are deformed in creation. Why they are deformed in creation? We often blame God. We have to understand that there is the original impulse of creation, like the original power, the original wisdom, the original ananda. But as it descends through the layers, through all the intermediary beings, finally comes to human beings. What do we do commonly with ananda? It is said that raso vaisaha, ananda is the origin of all things. What do we do with ananda the moment it little bit enters? So we turn it into pleasure, happiness, usual. So with pleasure comes pain. Why? As a reminder. Look here, don't mistake peaches and oranges. This is not ananda. That purest ananda requires great strength to bear. Similarly, it changes into sukh, happiness. With happiness comes sorrow. As a reminder that look here, what you think it's perfect? No, it's not perfect. So strive for ananda. So it gets deformed in the limited human consciousness. Why it is limited? It's limited because of ignorance. So in the limited human consciousness with ignorance as its stamp, everything that is divine changes. Knowledge changes into, or truth changes into knowledge and ignorance. Error always pursues us. Power changes into all kinds of limited power for limited gains and it turns into weaknesses. There reaches a limit beyond which you cannot do. These limits are meant to make us aware that there is something more and we have to go further. But many people either give up or they move in circles or they take help of here and there to go past it. But these limits are there to remind us to go beyond. And that's all life is about, if you really look at it. So we have this beautifully there in Isha Upanishad. So it doesn't say that you have to leave this plane avidya to go to vidya. He says, that's another darkness. This is darkness. Andham tama pravishanti avidyam upasate. That is a greater darkness. So what is the way out? So he says, with the help of vidya, you keep expanding the frontiers of avidya. Vidyancha vidyancha yasta dvedo bhayam saha avidyancha mrityum tirtva vidyancha amritam asnute. So this is the whole process. So these limitations, we have to keep on challenging, pushing the limits in the real sense, inner limits. And along with that, there will be outer change also. Both things are simultaneous. So in the second story, human beings, there are human beings who don't care for going beyond the limit. They are very happy. They in fact further distort. Whatever inspiration comes, it gets distorted further and further because of ego and desire self. So a time comes when the distortion is so much that it's very difficult to understand that this creation is God. You have to take it with faith. And it requires sometimes tremendous faith. So, but in the original story, the Gandharva says, if somebody can once again embody that perfect song, you will have once again a perfect possibility upon earth. Remember a line in Savitri, there is a line in Savitri. One man's perfection still can save the world. And this story is very beautiful because many people believe that, well, oh, yogi sitting on the mountaintop, what is he doing? What is he doing for the world? Meaning thereby he should open a hospital, see free patients. But he is actually embodying and setting into motion forces of the highest order. They have to be hubs upon earth to receive and transmit. Shrivindu says that a yogi sitting on the Himalayas dreamt of, he doesn't name the yogi, dreamt of freedom, what was that French revolution? Fraternity and equality. Equality, not equanimity. So freedom, equality and fraternity. And upon earth they become instruments to manifest it. So when you look into many of these writings in the Vedas and the Upanishads, you see such a perfect consciousness in many ways. Such love, extreme degree of love, sacrifice which goes beyond limits, wisdom. So many people, there are two approaches people take. They say this is impossible. Many people say, are Sita kaun, kahan se Sita? But they don't realize just because there is an ideal which is now imprinted upon her. That's the beauty of the avatar. Because here Shiva is still in his celestial world. Let's not forget that. But if on earth somebody can embody a perfect consciousness, and matter is touched by that perfect consciousness, then it becomes like an imprint which will keep attracting, keep drawing. That's why you see, despite all the problems, Ram ka naam marta nahi, marne ke baad liya jata hai, Ram naam sate hai. It's something amazing. If you really look at it purely from, I've asked this to some of my so-called intellectual friends. I used to ask them, that tell me, explain to me this strange thing. You may say Ramayana is this or that, and you may try everything, that's your opinion, viewpoint. But tell me, how is it that through thousands of years, name of Rama and Krishna still continues? For that matter, even Christ, despite all the distortions in Christianity. Why does Buddha continue to, you know, inspire mankind? What is it? Because the earth has felt the stamp. And once the stamp comes in part of earth memory, this will stay. That's why there is a very nice little saying that doing is remembering. I'm sure those of us learnt have. I have not learnt typing, but I know cell phone. Of course, I'm still a one-finger typist. But how do you learn typing? You may remember all the letters in your head, but it doesn't work. You have to do. So there is a saying, doing is remembering. So when you do it, where does the memory go? It goes in the cells. After that, you don't have to remember physically. It's like driving a vehicle. Initially, it takes time because it's most difficult to remember in matter. Matter is so dull. If you have a habit, it becomes very difficult to undo that habit. Once matter has absorbed it, then matter will very easily, then you need not worry about it, becomes so deeply imprinted. Sometimes we all have experienced, I have experienced. I mean, naturally, when you go from here to nursing home, you have a certain route you take. You know? If for some reason you have taken another route, suddenly you are a bit lost. Where have you come? Then you remember, okay, I am going here. Just a very fraction of a moment, because matter absorbs the memory. So all these occult truths are there that, well, how to correct things here? What is the, I won't name the political system of revolt. Okay, I'll say their slogan, famous slogan, Kette dao, kette dao, na to gaddi chede dao. Give us food, otherwise we'll knock you out. Now, you cannot correct. You will only change tyrants because the consciousness is imperfect. So this brings a very interesting thing. If you want to change things upon earth, you have to rectify the consciousness inside. If you do it only by external means, systems, political, whatever you may do. We have seen recently now, but it's very nice that people got caught. It's a sign that there is something jagrat. But merely you are, doing things ritualistically, it doesn't change you. You have to connect. You may be the head priest, you may become Kalanemi. That is the strange part, it's a paradox. So to change things upon earth, you have to embody that consciousness, change of consciousness, as Sri Aurobindo says. It's an extremely difficult thing. It's a tapasya in its own right. Because we don't even know what is consciousness. I mean, we can talk about it. But what is that consciousness which is independent of that which is involved in all our actions? That's why one of the first things Sri Aurobindo speaks on in yoga is, which the Gita also says, the witness, the sakshi, independent of all the instrumentalities. Then one begins to become aware. In certain situations, certain people can become aware of a consciousness independent of the body, at least of the mental consciousness, that whatever may happen to the body, the mind can remain free. That much we know. Yogis can go much more further. So the story gives a hint that if you want to correct things on earth, you first change the consciousness. To change the consciousness, you have to go back to the origin. That's the whole story. It's not just about moksha and I quit. All this effort is go back to the original consciousness from where the creation has started. So when you discover the creator and that consciousness, of course you can go back out of creation if you wish, or you can become a vessel for that perfect consciousness and change earthly things. How will you do it? You don't have to do anything. That's the beauty. How does the sun do things? Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshu nalipyate chakshushe vayadusha. The sun doesn't do anything, yet it does everything. So by merely embodying a perfect state of consciousness, you execute a change. This is the story, very deep and profound, of going back to the creator, and then, the second story of Ganga's origin. The first story is also very beautiful, and that has been embodied in many of the songs. One of the bhajans which I had heard as a child was Bhajvan Rama Charan Sukhdai, Jin Charanan Se Nikli Nikasi. That's how the word was. Jin Charanan Se Nikasi Sursari Shankar Jata Samai. So, what is the beauty of Ganga? Now, when we come back to this story in the Bhagavad, it contains, like there are some states where some of these stories where all the three gods come together. Otherwise, you have Vishnuji is happy in his Vishnulok, Brahmaji is in his Brahmalok, and Shivji in his Kailash. Now, there are some stories where they come together. And that story, one of them is Dattatreya. We all know that, Dattatreya, all of them come together. That's why Dattatreya is regarded as a great saint. He's described also in the Bhagavad, great yogi. He's the original taming the tiger. So, then comes this is another story. That she is she combines the powers of the highest, purest aspects of Lord Vishnu, at the level of the vital, the feelings. Brahmaji as the static, he keeps her with him. And Shiva, the dynamic dance of Shiva. So at all the levels, Brahmaji creates with his power of the highest mind. That's how his Manas Putras you see from Brahmaji. So whatever is highest and purest in all these three worlds, that is there in Ganga. But something still greater. And that is what the story of Vamana Avatar is. Beyond the material creation, there is something in the Ganga which is there. So she brings right the power or the energy, which is dynamic energy, because it's water. Water is always a sign of dynamic energy. That's why water is used in many ritual ceremonies. Because when you use the water, water can be charged. Now there are scientists which are proving that, those who want to see how water molecules respond to thought, respond to mantras. Now it's come like a Japanese scientist, but we can equally understand that when there is water, which to start with carries within it symbolically and at some level organically, I would say, the triple power of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, and beyond, still greater, which has the touch of Vaman Avatar, who is on earth and on whose shores Sri Ram and Sri Krishna have moved around, then that power becomes extremely capable, very charged. But then people say, is it possible that, okay, will it help everyone and anyone? So this story, there is a beautiful short story of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. So someone asked Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, is it true that if you bathe in the Ganges, the papas are gone? He says, yes. He says, then why do people come back and pick up the pap? They again engage in pap is, of course, we have talked about it, so I'm not entering into what is pap in the original sense. If you see that way, selfishness is the only pap. So he says, how come people again get back into it? So he gave a very, his way was, style was inimitable. He says, when they go to take a bath, they open your dress, their dress of papa, and they keep it on the shore. And they go there. When they come back, they once again wear it. It may sound very funny, but there is a profound truth in it. When people go to the samadhi, somebody said, Mother, when I am sitting at the samadhi, sometimes I get all kinds of thoughts. She says, yes, so what's wrong with that? No, Mother, in front of you, we should have only good thoughts. She says, my child, on the contrary, because it's the pressure of truth, things come out. And you have a chance to purify them. If you offer them, they'll get purified. So you see, there are two approaches. One is that I'll go very nice, sadhuvacha. And Mother says, what will I do with that? Everybody wants to show off their best parts. She says, what will I do with that? Come with your defects and infirmities. Look at it. The story has so many repercussions. When we approach the divine, why come with the infirmities? Now, there is a distortion to it, but I'll come to the original truth. So there are people who sit before the divine as if they are, bhai, Bhagwan, baad mein, I am the one, panda. So what happens to the mukhya panda? No story is intended. Huh? You develop the ego, I am the one. Aray, you can't reach him, I am the one. If the temple is Jagrat, you will be put into your place. Whereas, what is the right approach? He knows us. So you go there, as I am. Bhali buri hun jaisi prabhuji, rakho apne paas. When you go with that idea of humility, humility activates that energy, that power. If you go with the idea, I am a pure person and I am taking bath, I become purer, then you will end up wearing that same dress. But if you go with this idea, that's why humility is such a big power. In fact, Mother says, humility protects you from the hostile forces. If you don't have humility, it's a big danger. She says fear and lack of humility, pride, all these are very dangerous things. So go there with humility. And when people go with this humility, that with this faith, that also activates. And I was saying that I've had personal experiences with Ganga. And one of them was so touching, so deep. Means quite a few, both inner. But one was very outer. I can share this. In Kolkata. So one of my friends, he's also a doctor. So we went together. He said, so we were sitting on the, you know, you've seen the ghats which always have steps. So I said, don't take me to a busy place. I have a deep connection with her. I don't want to go to one of those busy. Take me to one of those places which is not much approach. She said, okay. So he took me to a place where I was sitting on the ghat with 2 feet. One, I'm sitting and then feet. And about 5-6 steps below, there is Ganga water flowing. So I got into a beautiful state and kind of connected. Then he noticed. He said, Uncle, kya ho raha hai? Bola, kya ho raha hai? Bola, Ganga ka pani upar kaise aa raha hai? Actually, we must have sat just for about half an hour. It kept coming up and up and up and up. Real, real experience. And I started feeling uncomfortable. Because I didn't want ki Ganga pani should come to my... So I said, now I'll go down. But before I could think of that, it just came. touched. I felt so, I didn't know, I was mixed emotions. One was so beautiful that Ma Ganga has come. If I wait for some more time, she will drown me. That's okay. Fine. But the other was that, you know, Ma to charan nahi chu sakti hai na. Charan pe, matlab, she didn't come to touch, but that's the process. Material life, what will you do? She will start you from there. So she would come up. So I immediately, you know, went down and I said, now I better take a little dip rather than, because she has come so far, I can take a few steps and go down. This is such a physically near impossible, I mean, in half an hour for her to climb. And he was surprised. And so she is real, living. But to activate, you need faith, you need humility. So often there is a condition that implies with all these profound things. It's not like mechanically I went and took bath in Ganga water. Do I really have this faith? Faith is a great power. And there are a number of stories with regard to this. One of them is Sanjeevani. When Hanumanji brings Sanjeevani booty and Sushen where this, he wants to. Sugriv says, please, please give it to Lakshman immediately. Like we do na. Oh, dawai agya, give the injection. It's a big reminder. As a doctor, I used to tell them, just hold, don't create this confusion. Don't create this sense of urgency and emergency. It's there. But first step is stay calm, invoke. And he says, invoke the healing powers in Sanjeevani. Now that's a great truth. There is the material medium which can become medium. But to activate the medium, you still have to invoke the powers which are inherent in it. It's not a mechanical thing. It can act like that, I don't know. I mean, if somebody has faith inherently, but you have to invoke the powers. So that's why we have this practice of Gangeche. Now we don't have, now anyways you have Ganga coming from literally Shar. So Ganga, Jamuna, Kaveri, all this, you invoke the seven rivers and then you take a bath because now it's your faith which is invoking the power. So that's why you see in olden time this was a necessity, but now we have forgotten that completely. So everything is just material. You take this pill and you will be cured of all ill. But now pills have multiplied, doctors have multiplied, hospitals have multiplied, bills have multiplied, patients have multiplied. Reality, I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, anything fabricated. Pondicherry had one hospital. Now it has 10 hospitals. And still patients are full. You go to any hospital patient. So something is wrong in our understanding of things. So another thing which we hear from this story is, understand from this is that the material is only the outward expression. It carries its power from a lot of layers which are behind. A murti is not just a murti, not just a physical stone. Like some people will go to Kedarnath and say, "Wahan kya hai, patthar hai." Samadhi ke baare mein kabhi kabhi kisi ne bola. Ek baar bola, "Oh, wahan jaane ki kya zarurat hai? It's a slab of stone." Maine kaha, "Tumhare maathe par slab of stone hi hai." Then I told, because mera wo apna tarika hai. Maine kaha, "Just as you are a piece of flesh." Bola, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's the reality of your outer truth. What's wrong? If that is a slab of stone, you are a piece of flesh." And I added, within whose brain box, billions of neurons are babbling, which you call as intelligent speech. बोला डॉक्टर साहब ऐसे कैसे आप बोल सकते हैं. जो सच है आपके हिसाब से तो यही सच है, आपका भी यही सच है. सो मेटीरियल क्रिएशन इज द मोस्ट आउटवर्ड एक्सप्रेशन ऑफ एन ए डिस्टॉर्टेड एक्सप्रेशन ऑफ सेवरल लेयर्स विच आर विद इन इट. एंड इट्स गिवन टू लाइक द ब्यूटी ऑफ वन ऑफ द ब्यूटी ऑफ सनातन धर्म. इट न्यू हाउ टू कनेक्ट टू इनवोक ऑल दीज लेयर्स. And how to charge matter, iske bahut repercussions hain practical life mein. And I have myself seen so many stories, sometimes I have narrated also. Mother used to give blessing packet, for example. And anything you can charge, and it gets charged, material objects get charged simply because somebody has kept them for good or worse. I think there was this movie Ashoka and it revealed a profound truth. Wo talwar milti hai sainikon ko. और वो कहते किसकी तलवार है, तो आपके दादा या किसने, बट इट वोंट बी दादा एज फार एज आई नो. समुद्रगुप्त और उन्होंने बुद्धिस्ट बन गए थे तो ही हैड थ्रोन दैट तलवार. दैट्स द स्टोरी, आई एम नॉट टेस्टिफाइंग टू इट्स हिस्टोरिकल एस्पेक्ट. He says, don't pick this sword. If you pick it up, you will become a killing machine. Material objects carry inherent tendencies, imprints. Matter carries an imprint which is very deep. And once you understand the occult aspect of it, people may use superstition and all, that is okay. But people have used it for good or for worse, even to harm. So you can charge, and water is very easily charged because water is liquid. It's a form of vital force. So it's much easier to charge than material, strong material creation like jartatu ya pathar ko. There are some stones which can easily receive spiritual vibrations, but liquid is much more easily. Air you can do, but air is difficult to capture and throw. But water becomes a very handy tool. That's why in all the prayers, what do we do? Any vow one has to take, one takes water. And then you do. Even shrap, rishis used to do. Pani leke fekte the. Kyunki wo charge hai, wo physical contact. It is carrying, it's a material medium. But and it's very easy to understand that material is only a medium. Simple thing, telephone, technology, what is it? It's matter. But science has found a way that it can be charged with vibrations of a certain kind. It can receive, it can transmit. So everything is at once material as well as spiritual, as well as everything in between. And it has many, many practical implications. When we meet human beings, we can either treat them as deformed creatures, or we can treat them as divine beings who have assumed this deformed appearance. One small story, then I'll read a little bit from one of Sri Aurobindo's poem. There was a doctor whose results were quite good, and some of them are of course prospective counselors. So someone asked him, "Ki, we also give the same medicine, you also give the same medicine. So why this difference of result that we see, that patients respond so well?" He said, "Oh, that is for a different reason." He said, "What is it? You are doing the same thing. You are not spending some big time with the patient or anything." He said, "No, no. I just stand there and I inwardly make only one invocation. He is Sachidananda Brahma. Is avastha mein kyon ho?" He took it that this is divine. That's our original, no? He is Sachidananda Brahma, is avastha mein kyon ho? So that deep within, and because he has invoked and lived it in his life, it becomes very easy. Because he has, that's a lived power, so he invokes that presence, and when that presence becomes awake, it rectifies the distortions. All spiritual healing at its bottom is about that. You may use a medium external, but deep within it is to invoke that deepest reality. That's what is the beauty of Ganga. But if you take it only as water, then it's different. Ab usko, one of the movies made it a song, not a very good song, but theek hai. It didn't explain, that's why it's not a mano to main Ganga maa hoon, mano to main behta pani. There is a truth in it, it's true. So faith is an activating mechanism. This is not that ki bhai manne ki baat hai. Because manna is not just an inactive. Faith activates certain things inside, and since the divine is present in everything, everywhere, and that's what we have been reading these stories. One of them was when Ravan comes before Ma Sita. What does she do? Picks up a trina. Says, Ravan dare not cross it. Another story is where Jayant, Indra's son, comes in Ramayana, and he pecks at Mother Sita's feet. And Ram is Ram. So, but he cannot go and pick up his bow and arrow. They are lying there. And so he picks up a blade of grass and throws it. It becomes charged with the power of the Brahmastra. And nobody can shelter him. Trust me, I am saying this based on certain experiences of mine. Too many to narrate. But even a most material object, if you treat it that there is a divine presence in it and invoke it, it will become a solid shield. I've actually experienced it, quite a few. If you have blessing packet, then of course it's already charged. But you can charge it with your faith, with that moment, instants, that Arth ki Prarthana, as it is called. And that becomes so powerful that if the divine presence which is hidden, you can even invoke within us. It becomes like an impregnable shield. So all these things are beautifully there in our scriptures, and I could go on and on, but I want to read. There is a poem of Sri Aurobindo on Ganga. So I just thought I'll read some. And again, he's writing it during the independence freedom movement. Okay, before 1909. So what is he doing? It's not just a sentiment he's expressing. He's invoking the power of Ganga Maiya to redeem this nation which has fallen, which believes we are to das, we are useless people, they can speak good English, we can't, so we are fallen, accursed. Yehi to hai na? You remind, no. Wake up, you are Brahman, this is where. So, he invokes the Ganges, Ganga Maiya. It's a long poem. I'm just reading the last few lines. He invokes India, Bharat Mata. She's a living goddess. See, that is the difference. In Sri Aurobindo's vision of India, she's not just a union of states or a physical piece of land. He says, if this is his, why should anybody in sane mind fight for a piece of stone? He says, she's a living goddess. And to him, it was Sakshat, truth. That's why. It's not otherwise worth doing anything. So he first speaks long poems, so last few passages. Up to far Benares pure, she shall lead the Aryan peoples to the mighty doom foretold, and her glory shall endure. Now this mighty doom is the Kali Yuga, and it will go beyond it, it will endure. By her heart of quick emotion, by her brain of living fire, by her vibrant speech and great, she shall lead them. They shall see their destiny in her warm desire, opening all the doors of fate. So, after this initial invocation to Ganga, to Bharat Mata, he touches upon Ganga. This is a poem on Ganga. It starts with Ganga and closes with Ganga. By the shores of Brahmaputra, or where Ganges nears the sea, even now a flame is born which shall kindle all the south to brilliance, and the north shall be lighted up as with the morn. Which flame is speaking about? Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, obviously, the Kineshwar. And once more, prophetic. That time nobody would have imagined India will rise. Now everybody is talking about Bharat jag raha hai, or Arya, or Sanatana Dharma. Now everybody is speaking, especially last 10 years. Sri Aurobindo is writing this in 1909. So it's a prophetic poem. When to imagine this would have been madness. And once more, this Aryavart, fit for heavenly feet to tread. This is a beauty. Devtaon ko bhi janm lene ka man karta hai, kehte kahan jao bhai, hum to Bharat mein janm lenge, tab jayenge. Mere se kisi ne pucha, bahut par gaya hun. Pehle to pehli baar when I went to US, kaha, what's happening? I am missing. So, oh, you must be missing Indian food. Because I said, I am missing India. I said, arre yaar, tumhari soch ki seema hai. I am missing India. Air of India. So, anyways, they took me to a South Indian restaurant and had some dosa. Bhai, unki seema yehi thi. Achha bhi nahi laga unko. Aise aap kisi Indian ko jo America mein settle ho gaya, aise bologe, so bura lagega. Aur har baar main yehi bolta hu, bhaiya, देख लिया सारा जन्म तो जन्म जन्मांतर भारत भूमि और कहीं पर देयर इज समथिंग हियर यू डोंट फाइंड एनीवेयर. नॉट दैट देयर आर नो प्रॉब्लम्स हियर, and there are no good things outside, it's true. But there is something here you get in the very air. You move out and you miss it. Europe, America, kahin par bhi, you will miss it. Free and holy, bold and wise, shall lift up her face before the world. Who? India. And she, whom men thought dead, into strength immortal rise. Ye 1908 aise kuch prediction hai. Not in icy lone Gangotri, nor by Kashi's holy fanes. Fanes are those small little galiyare. If you go to Kashi, you'll understand what are fanes. Kashi mein actually fanes. So, chote chote galiyan. Mother, hast thou power to save only? Nor dost thou grow old near Sagar, nor our vileness stains. About Ganga. कि केवल आपके अंदर प्योरीफाई करने की पावर नहीं है, और भी है. आप सागर के पास, सागर देखो नाम पड़ा है ओरिजिनल उस किंग से, सागर से सागर. सो उससे आप वहां जाके खत्म नहीं हो जाती आपकी शक्ति. नॉर अवर वाइल्डनेस स्टेन्स, मोक्षदायिनी पाप नाशिनी. गैंजेस दाई सेलेस्टियल वेव, दक्षिणेश्वर दक्षिणेश्वर वंडरफुल predestined pile, tell it to our sons unborn, where the night was brooding darkest and the curse was on the soil. इसकी बात करें 1908-9 में भारतवर्ष की बात हो रही है. Accursed. अब ये accursed क्या है, इसकी पूरी कहानी है. I don't want to go into it. But भारतवर्ष को अगर आप देखो तो what a mighty land. And किस stages से गुजरी है, one after another. You can see that. You can read a little bit of that spiritual story in Bankim Chand's Bande Mataram. Though it has a sad ending. The Mughals are leaving, but the English are coming. And then the Guru says, this is destined. Abhi ye chalega thode samay aur. So there was this, she had to go through all this. Tell it to our sons unborn. So we'll say is invoking the Ganga. Ki aap to rahoge, we may not be there, but there will be children who will come to you. This is the story, you carry it within you and tell it to our sons unborn. Where the night was brooding darkest and the curse was on the soil heaviest, God revealed the morn. बंगाल की बात कर रहे हैं उस कंटेक्स्ट में, क्योंकि वो दक्षिणेश्वर की बात. कर्स वॉज हैवीएस्ट. सो स्ट्रेंज. इज टॉकिंग ऑफ इंडिया एंड इज टॉकिंग ऑफ दक्षिणेश्वर. ही सेज जहां सबसे ज्यादा कर्स, जहां जो सबसे ज्यादा श्रापित है, वहां पे भी माँ गंगा मोक्ष प्रदान कर सकती, प्योरिफिकेशन. So all these and many more things in this story, but because we limited to a time frame. So this is the story of Bhagirath. Isliye there is a phrase in Hindi called as Bhagirath Prayas. So when you don't, you try and try like Bhagirath. Bhagirath's beauty is he never gave up. And the story goes that, you know, he went, as the Ganges started descending to earth, he went on his chariot and she is following. Now Janvi, so she is following him, all his steps, and he takes her all the way to Sagar, to go into Patal, from where the dead are revived. Who are these dead? This is very clear. There are certain aspects, tendencies, and all of us have that birthright, and even the, we may use the word burden we carry, but equally the capacity we carry to redeem the past. And this comes from certain tendencies. And Mother has spoken about it in the yoga. Here it's about redeeming by the transforming power of the grace. She has made it very easier for us. Because to do that kind of tapasya is near impossible. Today's context. But by the grace, we can realize it. Chema.